I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Monday, April 26th. A 24-year-old man is facing attempted murder charges after police say he stabbed three people during a large fight outside of a popular bar in Quincy early yesterday morning. Tyler McLean of Weymouth was arrested on charges including three counts of attempted murder, three counts of assault and battery with a deadly weapon, and disorderly conduct. Officers responding to a report of a disorder in progress at Rags Tavern on Washington Street at about 1 a.m. found several people fighting in the parking lot and three stabbing victims. A 21-year-old man was rushed to Boston Medical Center with multiple stab wounds. Two other 21-year-old victims were taken to South Shore Hospital with serious injuries. McLean was treated for facial injuries before he was arrested and taken to the Quincy Police Station. Anybody with information about the fight is urged to contact Quincy Police. The incident remains under investigation. The Quincy City Council's Finance Committee tonight will review a proposal to borrow $23 million to begin creating a new home for Quincy College. College President Rick DeCristofaro will speak to the City Council first, followed by councilor deliberations. Officials also will be reviewing Mayor Thomas Koch's request for over $100 million in road and infrastructure improvements across the city for many years ahead. State officials came to Quincy on Friday to announce $1 million in grants that'll be available to help create new fleets of electric vehicles. Those funds come from the state and the Massachusetts Clean Energy Center. The announcement was made at the former Lowe's Home Improvement store on the Bergen Parkway. That's where the MBTA plans to create a new bus maintenance facility that will service a new fleet of hybrid and electric buses. Officials say the buses that service Quincy now are some of the oldest and produce the most pollution of the entire MBTA fleet. The new garage will replace the over 100-year-old garage on Hancock Street. The new facility is expected to be completed in late 2024. The grant program will enable the T to purchase new electric buses and also provide equipment and training needed to service those new buses. Quincy has been designated as an environmental justice community, considered to be at higher risk of negative environmental impacts because of low incomes and high minority populations. Authorities have now identified that motorcyclist who died in a crash involving a box truck in Hingham last Thursday. Emergency crews responding to the crash at the intersection of Main and Middle Streets at about 12:45 p.m. took 42-year-old Casey Morissette of Rumford, Maine, to South Shore Hospital, where he later succumbed to his injuries. The driver of the truck, whose name was not released, was not hurt. The crash remains under investigation. A 27-year-old man who previously lived in Brockton is facing a number of charges in connection with a shooting in Avon last March that left another man hospitalized. Tyvon Thompson was arraigned in Stoughton District Court Friday on charges including assault with intent to murder, assault and battery with a dangerous weapon, carrying a loaded firearm without a license in connection with the shooting of a Boston man. Officers responding to a reported shooting near the intersection of West Main Street and Harrison Boulevard at about 2:30 p.m. March 23rd found the victim suffering from two gunshot wounds to the abdomen. He was transported to an area hospital and is expected to survive. The shooting remains under investigation. A man and a woman from Everett have both been arrested in connection with a brazen daylight shooting on a busy road in Canton earlier this year. 28-year-old Shaquille Lee is facing charges including assault with intent to murder and firearms violations. 30-year-old Jessica Arajo has been charged with accessory after the fact. Lee and Arajo had been wanted in a shooting near homes and businesses on Route 138 near Turnpike Street on February 21st. At the time, Canton Police Chief Ken Berkowitz described the shooting as disgusting and targeted. A video recorded by a witness and shared by police showed two cars colliding in the street before one of the cars spins out An occupant of that vehicle could then be seen walking into the frame with what appears to be a gun and firing several shots into the other car. Police later found the vehicles abandoned a short distance away. One of them had about 6 bullet holes in the side. Officers executing a search warrant after the arrests seized 2 firearms, an extended magazine for a Glock pistol, and fentanyl. It's not clear when the suspects will appear in court. A wind-whipped fire ripped through Hyannis Harbor Hotel yesterday afternoon, leaving the building heavily damaged. 55 firefighters from 10 communities were called to help put out the flames. Fire started at about 2:30 in the afternoon at the hotel on Ocean Street. Winds close to 30 miles per hour were reported at the time of the fire. All of the guests made it out safely. According to Fire Chief Peter Burke, the fire started in between the walls on the first floor. Flames were visible shooting from the building's roof. American Red Cross of Massachusetts tweeted out that it was responding to the scene to provide assistance, adding that an unknown number of adults and children were displaced by the fire. Firefighters also put out a blaze at that hotel in 2016. The cause is still under investigation. Boston College is requiring all students, faculty, and staff to be fully vaccinated against COVID-19 before returning to campus for the fall semester. University President William Leahy said that exceptions will be granted for legitimate religious and medical reasons. The school will administer 4,500 Pfizer shots on campus next week. The vaccines will first be offered to undergraduate students currently enrolled at BC. Boston College joins a growing list of schools, including UMass and Northeastern, that will require vaccinations. Some businesses in Massachusetts will be getting a little more COVID-19 relief from the state. More than 600 businesses will share more than $30 million in grants designed to help them recover from the economic impact of the pandemic. Part of a broader state program which has awarded more than $680 million in grants to 15,000 businesses so far. The state also announced $1.6 million in grants last week for local tourism organizations and chambers of commerce to assist in the recovery of the state's tourism sector. The leader of a Massachusetts nonprofit will be the person who announces the team's first round draft choice to Patriots fans on Thursday. Don Cox, president and CEO of the Massachusetts Military Support Foundation, said Patriots owner Bob Kraft invited him to make the announcement because of the foundation's work during the pandemic. While it previously focused only on military members and veterans, over the past year, the foundation provided 5 million meals to New England communities hit hard by the coronavirus, often working with the New England Patriots Foundation. Cox said that he was thrilled to be heading to the draft. Well, as he rounds out his first 100 days in office, President Biden's focus on reining in the coronavirus during the early months of his administration seems to have paid off. He can check off nearly all his campaign promises centered on the pandemic. Biden has delivered on a number of his biggest campaign pledges, focused on climate change and the economy as well. Some issues have proven to be tougher for the administration, including immigration, where Biden's grappling with how to enact promised reforms in the face of a steep increase in unaccompanied minors seeking to cross the border. On some of his promises, Biden is waiting for Congress to act. Vice President Kamala Harris will make the case before United Nations members today that now is the time for global leaders to begin putting the serious work into how they'll respond to the next global pandemic. The virtual address, Harris's second to a UN body since her inauguration, will come as the United States makes progress on vaccinating the public and much of the world struggles to acquire vaccines. The owner of seafood restaurants on Cape Cod has eliminated lunch service and delayed the opening of some locations because of his summertime influx of foreign workers that hasn't arrived yet. More than 1,000 miles away, a Jamaican couple is fretting about whether the rest of their extended family can join them for the seasonal migration to the popular beach destination south of Boston that has been a crucial lifeline for them for decades. As vaccinated Americans start to get comfortable traveling again, popular summer destinations are anticipating a busy season. But hotel, restaurant, retail store owners warn that staffing shortages exacerbated by the pandemic could force them to limit occupancy, curtail hours and services, or shut down facilities entirely, just as they're starting to bounce back from a grim year. The Kentucky Derby is back on the first Saturday in May, slowly bringing with it the sights, sounds, and rituals familiar to Louisville. Local officials and business owners are hopeful that translates into better cash flow after the pandemic upended the Derby schedule last year. The Thunder Over Louisville Air Show and fireworks display that kicks off Derby activities resumed with resounding booms last weekend. Marathons and cycling races conducted virtually last fall went off live this weekend, along with thousands of yellow rubber ducks bobbing in the Ohio River in the Kentucky Derby. The International Space Station's population swelled to 11 on Saturday with the jubilant arrival of SpaceX's third crew capsule in less than a year. It's the biggest crowd up there in more than a decade. All of the astronauts representing the U.S., Russia, Japan, and France managed to squeeze into camera view for a congratulatory call from leaders of their space agencies. Chloe Zhao's Nomadland, a wistful portrait of itinerant lives on open roads across the American West, won Best Picture yesterday at the 93rd Academy Awards, where the China-born Zhao became the first woman of color to win Best Director, and a historically diverse group of winners took home awards. In the biggest surprise of a socially distanced Oscar ceremony held during the pandemic, Best Actor went to Anthony Hopkins for his performance in the dementia drama The Father. The award had been widely expected to go to Chadwick Boseman for his final performance in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. The night's last award, it ended the ceremony on a down note, particularly since Hopkins was not in the audience. But the Nomadland victory, widely expected to win, nevertheless capped the extraordinary rise of Zhao, a lyrical filmmaker whose winning film is just her third in which, with a budget of less than $5 million and featuring a cast populated by non-professional actors, ranks as one of the most modest-sized movies to win Hollywood's top honor. Check of business news. Stocks open the day in positive territory. The Dow up 227 points. The NASDAQ rose 198, and the S&P is up 45. World stocks mixed. The dollar slipped. The euro rose. Oil at $61 a barrel. Sports: Red Sox beat the Mariners 5-3. They will be in New York to take on the Mets tomorrow night at 7:10. Penguins beat the Bruins 1-0. Bees travel to Pittsburgh tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And Celtics, they were beaten by Charlotte 125-104. The Seas will take on the Oklahoma City Thunder Tuesday night at 7 o'clock in Boston. The National Weather Service forecast for today: sunny and breezy with a high around 60 degrees. Tonight clear, a low of 43. Tomorrow partly sunny, mild, high tomorrow near 68 degrees. Maybe an afternoon thunderstorm Wednesday, high of 62. And some showers here on Thursday with a high of 61. For the boater, waves about 2 feet. Northwesterly winds at 30 knots. And a high tide at 11:24 a.m. Sunrise at 5:45, set at 7:38. So again, sunny, breezy, and a high around 60 degrees. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy News update for Monday, April 26th.